Podcast, live from Austin, Texas. Total Human Optimization.
What's up, everyone? Here we are with an On It Podcast with none other than Diamond Dallas Page.
We got DDP in the house.
We got DDP in the house. What's up, Burn? It's a pleasure to have you out here, man. Thanks for coming to the On It headquarters out here and mixing it up with us.
It all worked out perfectly. You know, I was coming down here for a wedding for my one of my godsons, and guy came down. I've never been to Austin, and so far so good. And what a restaurant you took me to!
Yeah, yeah, we fed him well. You know, we want to keep him happy here, and we got nobody else that could say anything if he gets unhappy. So we try to keep the man happy here. But yeah, real pleasure to have you out. And you know, your story, you know, basically what you've done throughout your life, going from wrestling in a kind of a very hard male, masculine, difficult, challenging on your body, challenging on your system, to then transforming that into kind of your own movement style called DDP yoga and embracing this more balanced lifestyle is something that's a really cool story. So I thought, you know, it'd be nice to kind of give people a little flavor of the old days and then tell them, sure, you know, how you've kind of learned and transformed and created what you've done now.
Well, you know, my story is unique into itself because I didn't even start wrestling until I was 35 years old. You know, Steve Austin retired at 37, just to put that in perspective, you know? And so everyone, you know, laughed at me because I went from being a manager. I started as a manager. I actually tried wrestling when I was 22, mm-hmm, and it didn't work out for me. And, you know, it's all about timing, right? It just wasn't my time. And then later on, I would come in as a manager when I was running these nightclubs in Florida. And it was a lot of fun just to, you know, I got some little independent shows, and I got picked up by the AWA, which was out in Minnesota. They filmed in Vegas.
So did you have any athletic, like football background, or did you play any competitive sports before
basketball,
that?
Basketball, when I was a kid, I was like football hockey freak.
Right.
And then I get hit by a car, and I flew 45 feet from the point of impact.
Wow.
And I just made the Bantamweight hockey team. I was 12, and that was for 15 and 16-year-olds. Mm-hmm. So, man, I was a stud at that. I loved it. And now the doctor said I can't play those two sports anymore. So I got to play basketball, which I suck at. Yeah, but this is my first lesson in work ethic equals results. And seventh grade, I didn't make the team. Eighth grade, I sat on the bench, and I said, I'm never doing that again. And I went down to park, and I played 4 to 5 hours every single night over that entire summer. Started freshman year. We went undefeated. The next year, I started varsity. And as a sophomore, to have that kind of work ethic, I realized that really anything was possible. Mm-hmm. And I also grew up with ADD and dyslexia. So broken family, bouncing around from one family to another like a pinball, and couldn't read or write. At 30 years old, I was still reading at about third grade level. Mm-hmm. But that's what I decided. I was going to learn how to read. And it goes back to everything I'd ever done. Really work at it.
Well,
you'll get the results.
You proved the case with the basketball. You know,
right.
You can apply that to everything. I think, you know, one of my favorite quotes is from Miyamoto Musashi, the great swordsman from Japan. And he says, know the way broadly and you'll see it in all things. So, you know, learning it in general, that principle of do the work equals, hey, I can make a change. I can make some results. Yeah. So that's important to learn young.
And for people who are watching, if you'd seen the movie or read the book, The Secret, they talk about imagining and manifesting into reality. And that is really, really important. But the problem is they left out The Secret. It takes a lot of work. It just doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah, you can positively associate all you goddamn want, but you better put in the sweat and the time to make it happen.
And so many people are afraid to do that. They're afraid they'll fail. And they already fail before they, you know, before they start because they've already quit.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite quotes is by Henry Ford. And he said, if you say you can or you say you can't, you're right.
Yep.
You know?
Very much.
Same thing.
Whatever you believe will go a long way in the results.
So when I come in as a manager, I get a shot to go to WCW, owned by Ted Turner, in 1990. Dusty Rhodes was...
And that's when you're 35.
35, yes.
Now, what were you doing before then, though? Because you were obviously still a massive human at that point, right?
Not really. As the manager...
You got bigger
I stayed right around right now I'm about 225, 230. I would then, but back then about 215, you know, so I had to stay leaner because the wrestlers were so much, you know, they weren't that much bigger than me, and being 6'4 and wearing cowboy boots, but you're about 6'7. So I look like Andre the Giant next to them. So I had to try to keep myself smaller and leaner. And And I got big shoulders, so that didn't really help. And when I finally got the shot to go to WCW, it was Dusty Rhodes who brought me in. Without Dusty Rhodes, there is no Diamond Dallas Page. He gave me every break I ever had, even in the smaller Florida Championship Wrestling, and he liked me. And he was a very cool person to have be your mentor, and still is today. He brought me in, and I managed the Freebirds, and Michael at PS Hayes really liked me a lot, and he let me do the talking for them in the beginning, which mm-hmm. was a huge thing, because he's one of the best talkers of the 80s. And then I developed that character for what would be Scott Hall or Razor Ramon. Back then it was called the Diamond Stud. And then at some point they pull me aside and they say, listen, Scott's got to get over on himself. Yeah, he's got to get over doing his own thing. I mean, with the hair and the diamonds and the diamond dolls, it's yeah. like nobody's paying attention to him.
Yeah.
You know, and they were right, because Scott was such an amazing character, but he needed to find his niche, which of course he found as Razor once he got up to WWF. But for me, I was there 6 months. Now my job's pretty much gone. I'm still doing color commentating, but that's like on 4 o'clock in the morning in Moose Breath, Iowa, you know, yeah. fourth string. Right. Next guy to retire is I'm done. So, I said, hell, I got sick. I guess it was 5 months in, because I had 7 months left of my contract. I said, I'm going to go down that power plant. That's where they would train a lot of the younger guys and learn how to wrestle. And man, they beat the hell out of me, because in wrestling, the first thing, especially you're new and you're coming in, we're going to show you how real it can be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it does get real, real, real fast. It's not the UFC, but, you know, it gets ego. There's a very big letters, EGO, you know, gets in that ring. Nobody wants to look bad, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, in the UFC, you at least have the hope that, hey, maybe I'll knock him out and I won't get hurt. You go into a match in your business, both people leave hurt. Like, that's just the agreement coming in.
You know? Yeah, we try to take care of each other. But, you know, there's one thing I always say about people who watch and they're going, oh, that wrestling's all fake. You can't fake gravity. You know, yeah. That's, you know, getting beat up. Like, I'm trying not to hurt my guy, but if I stiff you, sorry, you know, yeah. it ain't checkers.
Well, look at the punishment you take on your signature move alone.
Yeah, right.
The diamond cutter. I was looking at that earlier and I was like, man, both sides are getting their ass kicked there.
Yeah. I've always felt like most finishing moves hurt the right person doing it more than actually hurt the person that was being done too.
You know, I took Tank out at one time, and his timing was off, but Tank's an athlete and he followed. Sure. But when I took him, if you don't go with me, you're going with me. It's not like a choice. And I've got that cravat. Yeah. You know, it's a shoot hold. I don't care who you are. If I drop 250 pounds back then, you know, or if I'm right now 225, if I drop, you're going with me. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And Tank went like, woof. And it looked like I killed him. I mean, killed him. Got to the back. I was like, Tank, you okay? He goes, yeah, fine. Tank Abbott. Hit Tank with a sledgehammer to head. Boom. Tank, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. He was a tough son of a bitch.
He was a savage. You could find Tank on a bar stool and give him a fight. Hey, Tank, you got a fight in 2 days. Okay.
I'm ready.
Yeah,
wait, hold on. Go.
Okay. So take us through some of your training and some of the beating that you guys put yourselves through, not only in the ring, but in the gym to get yourself ready.
Well, you know, the gym was 5 days a week, you know, and I wasn't working out with the weights for more than an hour. I'm out just hitting certain body parts. And, you know, the biggest thing,
lifting heavy or what were you doing?
Oh, yeah, on and off really heavy. You know, I was never a really big bencher, but, you know, I could do 405 at one point a couple times, you know, jacked.
Yeah.
You know, it was not all me. You know, over those years, I was jacked. But, you know, I like throwing up 225 and going for reps. That was something I love to do.
Sure.
And then later, as I got, you keep changing your workout. I started to get into that, like, 10-second, you know, reps where you'd go up for 10, hold for 10, come down for 10. Now you got to do it a lot less weight, but your chance of getting hurt just dropped a lot too. Because the problem for me, and I know a lot of my buddies who walk into the gym, you go in with an ego. And some days you're thinking your buddy's got this, you got to get that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's okay in your 20s. When you get in your 30s or 40s, like I was, not so smart.
Yeah.
You know, so the wear and tear mainly, not so much came from the weight room, it came from the travel. You know, having to drive 100, 200, 300 miles to get to the next town, find a place to eat, find the building, go to the arena, do our thing. Maybe we stay there that night because it's a good party town like Nashville or something. If not, we drive another 100, 200, 300 miles to the next town, find a hotel, crash, get some sleep, sleep late, get up, go eat breakfast, go to the gym. It was like that. That was the whole recycle. Maybe hop on a plane at 6 o'clock to fly across country.
That's brutal. Very difficult to recover. Yes. So you say, it sounds like you started implementing some of the techniques that you would later apply to DDP yoga, like the lower, slower reps. But at that point, you hadn't gotten the food and this whole part that you're kind of getting now. So talk us through, tell us a little bit about the partying, the eating, everything that kind of went in to what you were doing at that point.
The partying was intense. So I had to cut back to maximum 3 days a week, sometimes two. And it's in my 40s, because my career, I start wrestling at 35. My career does not take off until I'm 40. Mm-hmm. And that was in 1996. 97 and 98, I was considered by Pro Wrestling Illustrated top number four wrestler in the world. Steve Austin was number one. I was four. So the travel that went with that and the partying that went with it, and your adrenaline that went with it. It all went with you. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to eat much cleaner by that time. I didn't even know what GMO meant. I didn't understand why wheat and dairy would actually beat up your body more. I didn't realize that it had synthetically changed. I didn't realize any of this.
Yep.
But my brother did. And he would always say, you want to feel a lot better? Stop eating wheat and dairy. Your body will feel better. I'm like, fuck you. I'm not doing that.
How do you make a cheeseburger and milkshake without wheat and dairy?
Yeah, exactly. How can I do that? But, back then I could still get away with the pain, and medicate pills. But I did not take pills recreationally because the first time I ever did it, I had taken a couple beers and a shot. I'd taken a Percocet earlier. And at some point I went like, whoa. That's a different buzz.
Yeah.
And it felt good,
Yeah.
And I thought, because the one thing about was really challenging about starting at 35, I'm bouncing around in a ring at 35 to start. So when you screw up, you get hit way harder.
Yeah.
Now to go to the other side, starting at 35, I was much smarter. So I didn't do things like use pills, painkillers, muscle relaxers recreationally, because I needed those babies to work.
Yeah. You needed to save them for one.
Because nobody wants to hear Diamond Dallas Page, oh yeah, he's hurt today. He won't be out here.
Yeah.
I had to be where I couldn't crawl out of bed.
Yeah.
And I have crawled out of bed, hobbled to the car, got to the thing, stretched. Because back in the beginning, I didn't do any kind of DDP yoga stuff. Yeah, I'd stretch a little bit. If I couldn't stretch, I didn't. If I couldn't stretch that far, I'd try a little bit more. I started drinking a lot of water back then, too.
Uh-huh.
And I got into organic juicing. All these things that I'm learning, not really understanding. I just know they're working. So if something's working, it's sort of like your buddy has to wear that Yankee hat during this game so your team will win.
Yeah.
It's that mental thing that's going, you got to drink that organic juice. You got to do this. You got to do that. I didn't realize what it was doing was healing my body.
Uh-huh.
Later on, as I started to learn about it, I went like, oh, now I get it. And so I started to eat cleaner, less, maybe I ate junk fake food, because that's a lawyer, a Harvard professor dubbed it now, junk fake food, because it's not real food.
Sure.
I might eat that once or twice a month or something in a really big hurry, so I cut that way down. No more fried foods.
So towards the end of your career, you really started making this transition.
Yes. Well, I was also 44, mm-hmm. 45, 46. So now partying's once a week. I still want to go out and do that, because you can't go out and do that in the ring, what I did, and have any, you just can't perform.
Sure.
Your body, especially at my age, moving around the way I did at WrestleMania 18, I was 46. Christian was 27. You can't tell who's 19 years younger by who's moving around in that ring.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to tell by your face, but you couldn't tell by how I moved.
Yeah.
And so that's how I stayed ahead of it, by starting to eat healthier, making better choices. And as I got towards the end of my career, when I was 42, that's when I blew my back out. And I was on top of the world. I just signed a multi-million dollar three-year deal. So the money's finally here. All the work off it. Again, work ethic equals results.
Mm-hmm.
And once I finally got there and had it all, they were telling me I was never going to be able to do it again.
Ouch.
Yeah. So I...
How did you deal with that emotionally when you when that happened?
Immediately? Emotional. I call it emotional gravity.
Yeah.
Because nobody can do more damage to you than you. I was pulling myself down, and I know that this is not going to work. And around that time, I was still married, you know, to Kim, and she's like, why don't you try yoga to heal your body?
Oh, so that was it.
That's the angle it came from. I was like, yoga? Fuck that. I'm not doing yoga, you know, because I'm a Jersey Shore boy, you know. Right. We don't do, we make fun of guys who do yoga, so I get that, you know.
Yeah.
Again, that's why it's DDP yoga. It ain't your mama's yoga. And that's where that later would come from, but I was really resistant to it, and then finally I started to do it, and there was this VHS tape that we had, and I couldn't do hardly any of the moves they were doing, and there was no one modifying the position.
Sure.
Like with DDP yoga, there is always someone in those first 8, 6, 7, 8 workouts, always someone modifying that position. Or I'm showing you right now, step in, lower to a knee. Same thing we'll do when we work out.
Mm-hmm.
I make this the easiest workout you have ever done. Within the same workout, I can make it the most challenging thing you've ever done. Like, where do you choose to take it?
Yeah, so you can self-calibrate where that.
Exactly.
So where was the aha moment, though, when you were doing this yoga where you're like, all right, you know, it went from difficult to, okay, this is something I need to implement.
Well, in 3 weeks, I felt a significant difference in some flexibility and strength coming back. Now, I'm still doing rehab. I'm still going to the doctors doing the rehab. I've rehabbed both shoulder surgeries. I've rehabbed both knee surgeries. So I know not just a lot about rehab. I know a lot about breaking up scar tissue, which is pivotal for movement.
Mm-hmm.
And, so one night I was just going through some of these yoga positions, just moving through them. And then I thought to myself, let me go in this, what I call broken table, when you're on your hands and knees and you bring your left arm out in front of you, take your right foot back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thing that creates like, you're turning on muscles, sure. Especially for your back, especially those little muscles.
All those stabilizer muscles.
Exactly. So I started working the rehab with the yoga positions. And then in yoga, you know, you reach to your heaven, so the universe smiles back at you. That's not what I do. You feel like you fold forward, you look up, and you go to a plank, and you just lower so you can do that amazing stretch cobra.
Uh-huh.
And then you go back into down dog, which is an amazing stretch, but it's also a strengthener as well. Sure. That was boring to me. So what I did was...
What would traditionally be called a vinyasa, right?
Right, or a flow, or salutation, because right. Mm-hmm. It's a flow that they do. But what I do is when I would go back into plank, my back so bad at that time, I had to lower to my knees. I would lower for 3, 2, 1, and then I would hold there 3 inches off the ground, count for 3. Then I'd come up for a count of 3, lower for a count of 3, then go all the way to the ground, and then do cobra, then do down dog. So now I'm working my upper body. So then I start to go eventually get off my knees. Eventually those 3-second pushups become 5-second pushups. Those 5-second pushups become 10-second. The 10-second become sets of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So my body's getting stronger. So now I get
like a Steven Seagal movie.
or a Rocky Balboa movie.
Yeah.
So then I was on the Stairmaster, and I'm big on the heart monitor. And you'll see when we work out that you want to know where your heart rate's at, because you don't want to train too hard, especially if you're injured. So I had the heart monitor on, got done with about 20 minutes on a Stairmaster. I get on the mat, and about 20 minutes in, I must have been doing the push-ups or something, and I looked at my heart rate monitor by accident. Wasn't really paying attention to it until I saw it said 140. Wait a minute, 140 beats a minute, and I'm on a mat? How's mm-hmm. that possible? Is this thing messed up? And then I started playing with what I call dynamic resistance. And all that is like the engaging of muscles, like pushing and mm-hmm. pulling. Like, so when I'm doing the diamond cutter, like just push your thumb and index fingers together, like really, really hard now. Mm-hmm. Now your pecs, biceps, and forearms all engage, right?
Yep.
Now push straight out in front of you here. Now I'm going to swing you to your side. Get away from here. So yeah, because you're going to do this sitting still. All I'm going to have you do is push right here, push your thumb in. If you're doing this at home, just try it. Just push your thumbs like this and your fingers. Now pull your fingers away. Now push really hard. And you feel like your biceps and all that?
Yep.
Okay, now open your fingers. Open a little bit wider. Like, go this long, straight out in front of you. You got to come straight out. Give yourself room around that mic. Hold on, I'm going to move that mic. Okay, so you're going to move there. Now, with resistance. Now, you see how outside of your form? Now, Don't, yeah, that's it. Tight. Open those fingers wide. See how that's on your forearm, your tricep, your deltoid, and your trap engage? Mm-hmm. Now with resistance, just reach back. Go a little faster than that, a little faster, but create that resistance. Now bring your arms out to a T. Now clench your fist tight and do that crab shot. Now hulk it up. Yeah, get that. That's it. Biceps, chest, back. Yeah. Tension. Shoulders back, chest out. At ease. Now tell me you're not starting to sweat already.
Yeah. I know, I could see every single muscle not right there.
Like, but it was like boom, 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 right?
Yeah, everything gets fired up.
Every time you flex or engage a muscle, every single time, your heart has to beat faster to get the blood to the muscle.
Sure, I can feel it.
And think about this. You're laying down. Your heart rate is the lowest it's going to get, right? You're sleeping. You wake up. You sit up. Your heart rate goes up. You stand up. Your heart rate goes up. You start to walk, it goes up. Jog, run, sprint, up, up, up. All you're doing is engaging muscles. So what I had figured out by accident, it wasn't like I was doing this study. It's I'm working on myself to heal myself so I can get my multi-million-dollar contract and make all the hard work worth it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing. I'm pursuing the dream. That's it. I figured out that with what would become DDP yoga, in less than 3 months, less than 3 months, I'm back in the ring with a workout that is kick-ass cardio, dramatically increased my flexibility and strengthened my core like never before with minimal joint impact. You know what a superhero push-up is, right? You lay in your stomach, stretch your arms straight out in front of you.
Okay, yeah.
Now lift your hands off the ground,
right?
Your feet off the ground. Now, without bending your elbows, bring your hands to the ground, your feet on the ground, lift your body up. At 50, you want to try one?
Hold up. Let me get, I need a webcam.
Wait. Hold on, spin a camera. It's important
that you're going to try this. I got to see.
It's important that you keep your arms straight when you do it.
All right, now we got a mobile webcam here.
Yeah. All right, so go to push up and just lower all the way down. Here, let me have you. I'll get a front side. Hold on, pull right.
All the way down?
All the way down. All right, can we see him right now?
Yeah,
you see him? Okay. Now, that's perfect. Now bring your hands to the mat, to the floor. Bring your feet to the floor. Pick your body up. Pick your body up.
Come on.
Pick your body up. Pick your body up. Pick your body up. Okay, good. That's perfect for it now. You're a stud. You're 32, right? I've never done this cold ever. But we'll see what the 57-year-old guy can do.
Oh, man, I'm about to get dominated here.
Okay.
I mean, I was hardly even budging.
Can you see me?
Yep, got you.
Up.
What? Man.
If you,
you guys don't realize how hard that is. You have no proper appreciation for how hard that is until you try it.
I'm going to pay impressive. For that later. That's called EGO. But I mainly do it because I sacrifice my body in wrestling to entertain people.
Sure.
I sacrifice my body at times for this to show people what's possible. And that's it.
I'm a true believer now after that.
If you go to ddpyoga.com, on the top tabs, one of them will say, you're in your breath, right?
Yeah.
Because all the muscles, even though you weren't getting yourself up yet, you're still,
I was pushing,
you're
hard
popping.
As
no, dude, you were, dude, I know you wanted it.
I wanted it.
So what happened is, take that deep breath. Really all about breathing too. That's the most important thing I've learned in the last, I say in my entire life. Mm-hmm. The number one thing I learned how to do is own my breath. But back to the superhero push-up. If you go to ddpyoga.com, top one of the tabs says DDP Yoga in the news. So you run your mouse over that, and then it'll say DDP at 57 years young. And when I have one of those, on January 6th of this year, after an hour and 30-minute workout, I did 50 of those.
Holy shit.
And it's all there. I wanted 57 because it was my age. Yeah. I was 56 at the time. I wanted 56, but 50 was all I got.
For those of you listening, try that. Just try it. Just give it a go and see how it goes. What do you do to train up to that, though? Is it all part of the DDP yoga program there?
I don't even have that in the program, I'll tell you. But what I did is my I've got these 11 workouts. Really, one's a tutorial, and it's these 10 workouts. And they start with 23 minutes, and they build up to 70. Now, you can mix and match some of them, so you can still get an hour and a half workout you want, or an hour, or 50 minutes, because I break them up, and there's so many different ones to do, and a lot of muscle confusion in it, so that your body is getting a total workout every week. So after those, I developed this workout I called DDP Extreme Psycho Workout.
Yeah.
And that
Where
one,
do we get that?
Same place.
All right.
But right now, you're not ready for that.
I know. You got to build up. I like having things I can't do.
And today, you can't do today.
Right.
So what I did with those, like, I'll do stuff where I balance on my elbows, right? My knees and my elbows.
Uh-huh.
Back there, jump. On those, I jump and I land on my elbows. And I do like three. But I show you how to modify that so that you can do it.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where I could jump my elbows, push up and do a handstand. Lower my elbows down, or my knees down, jump back on my elbows. Come up and do a handstand again. My feet, I'm still close to the ground. I'm not doing a full out handstand, but getting your feet up at 6'4", 225 pounds.
The leverage in that is intense.
And I'll show you some things I'm going to show you when we're doing this workout where we can go. I'll say, here's the easiest way to do this. Here's a way that's a little more challenging. This is challenging. This is that next place to go.
Yeah.
So there's always someplace else to go with my workouts. A lot of people will buy the max pack because then there's 15 workouts, and a lot of them is the intense stuff. And on the packaging, it's like caution. Like, it has a diamond cutter sign, and there's a skull in the middle of it, and it says warning. Do not go near this until you own those other workouts.
Yeah.
Because it all prepares you for that. And one of the things that we're really, I'm about to be a part of something, which I want to talk to you guys about as we move forward on this. I'm about to develop an app that will change the fitness world along the line of video recording workouts. Because, you know, now with P90X and Insanity, people bring them in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it right there in the gym. I'm going to have, when I launch the app, we'll have, you know, the app that will be like $299 or whatever it'll be, which will give you a little base of what we're doing. The other one will be like a subscription price. And what it'll have in it, it's going to have at least 40 workouts in it. DDP yoga for kids. DDP yoga for seniors.
Cool.
It's going to have all the base workouts that I have already. It's going to have the
DDP psycho workout?
Yeah, it's going to have that. It's going to be an extreme psycho section. Because I do that at least once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And I do it with, I love to bring people in that this is how I'll do it with people so they can see how this will be, have a date on it. And then you'll be able to see that guy who's working out with me like 9 months later or a year later back again working out with me. You're going to go, oh my God, he can do all that stuff now. Maybe he was doing a modified version of that.
But you see the growth curve. So what do you recommend for people who are doing some kind of more explosive training alongside? What's kind of the workout regimen? Let's say, you know, you also need to maintain a really high vertical jump and that explosive power. So you still got to train that.
No, yes, I get that.
But then, so what is a kind of a workout schedule implementing the DDP yoga work look like for a good athlete and then for someone who's just kind of starting out?
This is the best I can say, because most of those people are weightlifters, right?
Yeah, right. Or some kind of plyometric training.
Something like that. But they all do cardio, don't they?
Something, yeah.
Yeah, that's this.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, the very least, DDP yoga, I'll give you the best example. This one of my brothers out in L.A., stud. I mean, just carved from, you know, granite, 242 pounds and 40 years old. His name's Avril. And I said, Abe, I said, you know, how much you hitting your cardio these days? Oh, gotta do it. Hour a day, 6 days a week, gotta do it. He's all about the machine, eating and staying big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how about your flexibility training? He goes, dude, I have none. I said, what if I could eliminate the boring cardio hour and get you flexible and stronger than you've ever been? He goes, I'm listening. Because nobody wants to do, you know, to nowhere.
Yeah, it's the worst.
So we started, me and him, now today he teaches this. He dropped about 20, he was down 218. He looks 10 pounds bigger than he was when he was 240. Because now he's just shredded.
Yeah.
You know, and like muscles, you didn't even know he had muscles. But his cardiovascular conditioning now is off the charts, because this became not just his workout regimen for his cardio, but his strength. And he went down to lifting from 6 days a week. He now lifts 2 days a week, one day heavy, one day light. And when he lifts heavy, he lifts heavy.
He goes for it.
He's one of those guys. Yeah, you know, he's a freak too. He's a genetic freak. But when I was wrestling, this took the place. I went to 45-minute workouts 4 days a week in the gym on the weights. Everything else was this, because I could get stronger and stronger and stronger. And then what I ended up doing too was breaks in between. Like, say I'm doing chest and I get up, I take my leg, and this is cold because you've been here, you've seen me.
Yep.
When I'm standing and waiting, instead of doing this, I might just grab my foot. As I'm grabbing my foot, focusing on something else, and I just get that stretch out. And I fucking hang there.
You're walking the walk right now. That's for sure. Yeah. That is for sure.
And it just shows I can do this cold.
Yeah.
I'm 57. I broke my body up from 35 to 46 at a crazy level. Took off 2.5 years, really perfected DDP yoga at a whole different level. Came back and wrestled at 49 for TNA, 5 days a month, but I did that for 10 months. And I could still go. And then I said, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because it's more important for me to hold my foot over my head and talk to someone than it is to put it up somebody's ass.
That's the future. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And that's how the transition came for me. Then the food went to a different level. And I started really understanding what wheat, dairy, soy, corn, the GMO version, which is 95% or more. Mm-hmm. Once I saw how that started healing people on the inside, and the Dolce diet, from what I understand, yep. I've never met him, but from what I see, he's very much based in the same,
absolutely.
Same spots.
Earth-grown nutrients, that's it.
And guys are doing that to cut up, mm-hmm. you know, to make weight.
Mm-hmm.
No, you want to do that straight through.
Yeah, no, it's a lifestyle. Yeah. It's not a diet. You know,
And I never use the words diet, because what's the first three letters, right?
Die.
None of them work.
Yeah,
Make it a lifestyle. And what I have found is that now it's really interesting, because again, I'm the guinea pig. I'm 57. I'm going to be 58. How long can I do the shit that I can do? And I'll tell you the one thing, how long can I fuck the way I fuck? And I'm looking at my little girl over there, and there she got, look up, got smiles on her face.
What?
No, I mean, really, but that's what's important to you, right? I mean, meaning you, just watching this podcast, everything's about a guy. If you got machismo, if you're a man's man, everything comes down to how you perform in bed and out in the rest of the world. Because if you suck in bed, well, the rest of the day is going to suck for you too.
Yeah, no bench press score is going to compensate for that hole that you feel in your heart.
And again,
you can put 720 pounds on the bench press, and it's still not going to fill that hole in your chest. I hear you.
I want my woman to have a big smile on her face.
Of course.
And the flexibility factor and the duration and the cardio, you know, that goes into that. If you're like a person like me, you know, the reason why a lot of guys stop is because they lose that.
Yeah.
They lose those endorphins. They lose their libido. They lose it. I don't care how many shots you take for it. You still gotta, every time you stretch or flex a muscle, blood runs to that area and oxidizes that muscle, which makes that muscle strong.
Yep.
You know, and that's what it's about.
Yeah. And there's, you know, a lot of talk about with the yoga, and this is in traditional yoga, not DDP yoga, but there's the idea of the chi, that kind of bodily energy that you move through with your breath. And, you know, even though that may sound a little weird at first, when you start getting into even watching your breath and flexibility,
huge.
You can feel the energy moving through your body. You
huge.
Know, there's something more than just the mechanics that you're tapping into when you're doing there. You're getting the body to work like it was originally designed to work. Freeing up those energy sources.
You guys won't be able to do it today.
I love when people say that. I love it. It's like my favorite fucking thing that people say. Tell me that like about anything. It's like, oh, okay, really? All right, perfect.
Notice I said today, okay? Because here's the deal, okay? Taking that deep breath in, you always hear me say deep breath. I count it out. 3, 2, 1. That's your breath leaving. It's not anything else but your breath, Lean. You just breathed out for 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. Then I'll have you take a breath. Sometimes it'll be 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now you see what happens here. I do a few breaths at 3, 3 breaths at 5. Then I'll take you to 10. That's about as far as you're going to be able to go.
Right.
Exhaling out, 10, 9, all the way through, pushing on. Now what you're doing is your air comes from your diaphragm. And your diaphragm is like a balloon. And when you go to blow up that balloon, you got to really like, and then it starts to go, right?
Yep.
Blow it away out. Now let all the air out. The next time when you go to blow it out, goes automatically that big. Mm-hmm. You blow it up again, let it come down. Next time, blow it up, boom, now it's that big. So what you're doing is you're creating and teaching fighters this, especially if you're in wrestling, no one could blow me up. Nobody. Mm-hmm. But I knew how to breathe, and I was conditioning at a different level. DDP yoga, that's all I did the last 6 years of my career. Mm-hmm. So bottom line is owning that breath and getting that diaphragm big before you walk out there. Like, I can breathe in and out for 70.
Wow.
But again, it's like, yeah, it's not even that. It's like, it's like that. And then, and now you're using your obliques and your abdominals.
Yeah. I remember I went and, there was a martial arts master. His name was Pat Johnson, 9th degree black belt, and great, great guy. Older gentleman too. He was in his 60s then. And he said, you know, he said, Aubrey, I want you to feel how I breathe here. And he put my hands on his stomach and his back, low stomach.
Exactly.
And when he breathed, that whole part inflated. You know, usually your upper chest, yep, inflates. That part inflated like a balloon, front and back.
Yep.
And it was amazing and changed the way I thought about breathing, because that extra capacity that he was getting from those lower lungs,
right,
was just a huge resource for him.
Well, you, when you're pushing out your stomach, like I call it Santa Claus, so you're making room for the diaphragm to expand. Now, when you're exhaling and you're using, and all I'm doing is exhaling right now, pushing all that air out like a singer would, I'm engaging my obliques and my abdominals as, mm-hmm, I'm pushing all that air out. So I'm never like that, but if my breath is a little bit shorter, I might take that that deep breath in, and as I'm counting back, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, if I need air right here, 3, 2, 1. I'm going to take that breath and keep going.
Yeah.
I'm going to change. Here's my two goals. I'm going to change the way the world looks at yoga, because all that namaste stuff is really cool. It's not what I do, mm-hmm, but it's really cool. And a lot of the people who are really into that whole deal, I really respect those people. In the beginning, I didn't understand them, and I thought they were wacko.
Sure.
You know, but,
well, it can be an obstacle from some people getting into it, which is something that you've identified. Let's remove that obstacle. You can add it back later.
Right.
Add it back,
right,
later if you want. If but you let's want take that. It out of the way.
It's sort of like the head fake, you know, where I'm like, you got kids to play with computers now. You look at a kid who's 3 years old, they already, after they played one game or two, they know their way around right, the damn computer.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the game is all about. For here, as I'm trying to show you, I've got like Chuck Zito, who was the Hell's Angels president, right, of the New York chapter for 25 years, talking about my workout.
Yeah.
You know,
and someone like Michael Chandler, who's Michael at the Chandler, top of his game, yeah, and an MMA fighter doing the workout.
Puts it over huge. And again, it's just another little thing for his toolbox. Josh Barnett put it over huge, mm-hmm, because they can see that, okay, this is another thing. Now, will they have the work ethic to continue to walk all the way through? That's their game. That's their, in their toolbox. What are they putting in there? I know that getting younger kids to do this at a younger age and be able to make this part of their like life,
yep,
the chance of injury has just dropped. And you know how easy it is in soccer and football to seriously injure yourself as a kid. You add this and you create that core strength, like me being a little bit 57, cold, to pick my foot over.
Fuck
my,
yeah, head. I had constant overtraining injuries in basketball. I mean, our coach was just an old school kind of military knucklehead, right, right, kind of trainer. And he had us running miles and miles on pavement to the point where,
yeah,
my shin splints were so bad. Right. I was like, I just fucking can't run anymore. Like, right, I can't jump. I can't run. I'm just blown out in legs, you know?
And if he would have trained you better like that, it would have been, but he didn't
lights
know.
Out. He didn't know.
He didn't know. He knows about no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. And really, once you get past that, pain means pain. Listen to your body. Like every single workout that I do, like what'll really be cool about the new app is we'll do live workouts at least 2 or 3 times a week. Now that'll go live to tape, from tape to in the vault. So at any point in time, you can do it, but it'll be filmed live. And with film live, I have a lot of fun. I make people laugh all the time because, you know, I want them to love what they're doing as opposed to being, oh, God, when is he going to get to the end of this? That's not what it's about with me, you know? Yeah. And you'll see that when we start the live workout. But there will be live workouts where people can actually feel that energy, mm-hmm. you know? And then
that's awesome.
The whole breathing thing is so pivotal, but I don't want you to work too hard. I don't care if you're just starting, you're a stud. If you're shaking, lower to a knee. Come back off the knee, you know? Because that's how you're going to get stronger. That's how you're not going to spasm. That's how you're going to get better and deeper and deeper. I do things today where I'll be in a workout and I might be working out with her or my buddies or whatever. And all of a sudden, I just got way deeper in that stretch. And then I'm going to try this now. And I might do a little wraparound thing and go into something I've never even done before. I'm like, wow, I never thought I'd be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So I don't really ever throw that never thought anymore. It's like, I can't do it right now.
Yep.
I'm working towards it.
Put in the work.
You get the results.
Get the right strategy. You get the results.
Goes right back to what we started talking about.
That's it. Well, man, it was a real pleasure having you on here. I think we opened a lot of people's eyes. Where can they find you? Where can they kind of check out some of the other stuff? DDPyoga.com.
Yes.
What's your Twitter? What's your Facebook?
Twitter is at RealDDP and at DDPyoga. And if you really want to see what people say, go there because people all the time on there. But I tell everyone at the end of anything I ever do, I say, don't listen to a word I said. Go to Facebook, one word, DDP Yoga, one word. Read what people write. Like I had a woman write a couple weeks ago, I've had fibromyalgia and I have the worst pain every day of my life. She said, I've been doing your program for 6 weeks. She goes, I had to write you. I never write on Facebook. I had to write you and thank you because it's the first morning I woke up out of pain in 15 years. It's things like that. Or the girl who just put up, I've been doing this since January 2012. Here's my after pictures. She lost 140 pounds.
That's awesome. You know? And then we start getting combined with some of the stuff we have, some of the diet principles, putting it all together. Man, we're going to be changing lives. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's what I mean. We got to do something in conjunction. You know, biggest,
hell yeah.
It's on my sites. It's biggest fan. Go right to on it.
Right on, my brother. Well, pleasure having you on. I look forward to this workout. We'll have it on film and we'll definitely release that. So you'll see me trying some stuff and getting
awesome.
Weird.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Take care.